ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता as it is, yatha tata. Is it in Telugu? Yatha tata. Yatha tatam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah. Very well known verse. Chapter 7, text 19. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. Lord Krishna says, after many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Purport. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism, but when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to Him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that He is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from Him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus, he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. This verse is very nicely explained in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15 of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which is very similar to the Purusha Sukta. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhumin Vishvito Vritvatya Tishthad Dashangulam Purusha Purusha Evedang Sarvang Yadbhutam Yachabhavyam Utam Ritat Vasyeshano Yad Anena Tirohati. In the Chandogya Upanishad it is said, Navaivacho na chakshunsi na shrotrani na manasitya chakshate prana iti eva chakshate prano hi vaitani sarvani bhavanti. In the body of a living being, neither the power to speak, nor the power to see, nor the power to hear, nor the power to think is the prime factor. It is life which is the center of all activities. Similarly, Lord Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body there are powers of speaking. Blue. Do you know what blue means? Someone can go with him who know what blue means. It's the same book but covered with blue. Maybe he's colorblind. Similarly, Lord Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body there are powers of speaking, of hearing, of mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And because Vasudeva is all-pervading and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. And here is written, CF, refer to Bhagavad Gita 7.17, which is just two verses before this. Teshaṁ jñāni nitya yukta eka bhakti viśiṣyate priyo hi jñānino tyartam ahaṁsa cha mama priyaha. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. And also refers us to chapter 11, text number 40, which goes as follows in relation to this. Namah parastha data prashtataste namostu te sarvata eva sarva ananta viryamita vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarvaha. Arjuna praying to Krishna as Arjuna sees the Vishwarupam, the universal form, obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Vasudeva saravamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Well, as we often heard from our most worshipable spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, it is quite possible to become Krishna conscious even in a moment. So we may wonder why it takes so long to understand or to become Krishna conscious. Why should it take so many births to surrender to Krishna? We know from earlier in this chapter that not so many people are interested in finding the truth. What is that verse? Any Gurukul boys? Yeah, you know, I know. But any. Let's see if any of our Gurukul boys know. They don't. Very few people are interested in finding the truth. Any Gurukul boys can say? Very good, thank you. Say it loudly.
Yeah.
Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mangveti tatvataha. This verse, it closely parallels the one that we just read, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, that out of thousands of men, someone may be interested in siddhi, in understand or the perfection of life. And of those who have attained the perfection of life at some level, hardly one knows Krishna. But on the other hand, we do see many people who are interested in spiritual philosophy, not only in India. We find people who call themselves truth seekers. Why should the truth be very difficult to find? The truth we understand from Bhagavad Gita is the ultimate truth is, what is it? One word. can say in one word, Krishna. Matav parataram nanyad kinchidasti dhananjaya. There's no truth, Srila Prabhupada translates this, higher than myself. Well, the conditions to understand Krishna are given again in this seventh chapter, just a little later. What are the conditions for becoming Krishna conscious? What are the prerequisites? Anyone? No, I wasn't thinking of that one. That's one level of knowing Krishna. Seeing, recognizing him as taste in water. How about this one? Yesham twantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam tedvanva moha nirmukta pajante mandiravrata. Would have been nicer if you could have got it without me prompting you. In short, we can say the conditions are piety and proper understanding, right? We can say briefly, piety and proper understanding. Now, there have been innumerable pious people in the history of India. Practically, the real history of India is not these kings came and those invaders came, but the real, if we're going to speak about the glory of this land, the real glory is the spiritual culture, which means spiritual people who are upholding that. And there have been many, I mean, apart from the well-known, outstanding swamis, there are innumerable people who have lived very pious lives, and even up to the present day you can see people who, from their very birth, have lived very pious lives. Not only Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, even Shudras, they follow their roles scrupulously. In Gita, Krishna states that especially the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are expected to be more pious. Where does that come? Anyone? Say it. King Puna Brahmana Punya. Because before that, Papa Yoni, the verse before that, speaks about the Papa Yoni. Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras. But Marmhi Parthavya Pashritya, Yepi Suf Papa Yoni Hastriyo Vaishas Tata Shudras, Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. Even persons who are born in a situation which is considered sinful, if they take full shelter of me, Krishna says, they can paramgatim, they can go to the highest destination. And King Puna Brahmana Punya Bhakta Raja Shayastata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. Then what to speak of the Brahmanas who are pious and the devotional kings who in this miserable and temporary world worship me? So especially the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, they're expected to be more pious. And we see up to the present time there are, of course, the numbers decreasing generation by generation. I was just in Sri Rangam, and we see there are still many people who raised in families who are just going on as their forefathers did, following all the rituals and fully dedicated in the service of the Lord. And of course, not the Vaishnavas, not only the Vaishnavas, there are Smaratas also very piously following all their rituals and Varnashram duties. So they can be called very pious people. And apart from India, within India and outside India, there are people who are trying to be good people. It's important to them to be good. They're not so much interested in amassing lots of money, but they want to be good and deal with others nicely. So there are many people who we can say are pious. And understanding, what does that Krishna say? Tidvanva moha nirmukta. Those who are free from the duality of illusion. In other words, those who can understand properly. So to understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, to understand Krishna, it shouldn't be very difficult. The basic understanding is very easy. That we are not the body that we tend to identify with. We are eternal spiritual beings. And we have an eternal relationship of servitorship and love with Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore to serve Him is the meaning of life. So it's not very, the philosophy shouldn't be very difficult to understand. So why does it take so many lifetimes for people to understand? If they're pious and the philosophy, it really doesn't require a PhD in philosophy to understand the basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It should be fairly easy to understand. Then, why do so many people become Krishna conscious? Kaschin maṁ veti tatvataha. Very few people properly understand Krishna. What is that understanding Him tatvataha? Janma karma chame divyam evangyo veti tatvataha tyakva dehaṁ punar janma naiti maṁ eti surjana. Understanding that everything that Krishna does, beginning from His apparent birth and all His activities, they are all of a different quality to that of persons within material existence. Tribhir gunamaya bhaivaya. What is that? Abhi sarvamidang jagat. What's the next line? Mohitang. Mohitang nabijana timamebhya paramavyayam. Krishna says, people don't understand me because they're bewildered by the three modes of material nature. And of course, Krishna is beyond the modes of material nature. So why can't they come out of it? And again, how to come out of it? Manchayovyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. To cross over the modes of nature, everyone is within the three modes of nature, but one can cross beyond them by avyabhicharini bhakti to Krishna. The fully concentrate, without any deviation. One immediately comes to the transcendental position. But then so many people are pious, and it's not difficult to understand. Then why do so few people become Krishna conscious, as Krishna mentions in this verse? And why does it take so long? What's the answer to that question? Well, there could be various answers. One is a major reason that people, even though they're pious and even apparently searching for the truth, is they don't understand because they don't want to understand, as we get a clue from Prahlad Maharaj, Matiana Krishna Paratasvato Va Mito Bhipadyeja Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatanta Misram Punaf Punas Charvarta Charvananam. Certain persons who are determined not to be Krishna conscious, they won't be Krishna conscious, even if they're searching for the truth. But they've decided in advance that whatever the truth is, it's not going to be Krishna. Or even if we accept that Krishna is the truth, we'll redefine Krishna as nirakar, nirgun, no form, no qualities, and so on. Because of uncontrolled senses, they enter into the darkest regions of ignorance, and repeatedly chew that which is already chewed. But wait a minute, we're talking about pious people, aren't we? But piety, unless we are fixed in Krishna consciousness, unless we cross over the modes of material nature, then we may be very pious in one life, but then again we may fall, because that's the nature of material life. Up and down, up and down, up and down. So many people may be seemingly very pious, but they might be seemingly very pious, and they might even seem to be inclined toward bhakti. Just like we see, for instance, many, I was talking about smartas, they like to chant Vishnu Sahasranama. They'll agree that the names of Vishnu, they are all purifying. Yet internally they maintain the highly impious attitude of not being interested in actually surrendering to Krishna, to admitting Krishna's supremacy in all respects. So they are pious in one sense, but in another sense they're very impious, because they don't want to admit that Krishna is supreme. And they might even be, even though they'll chant Vishnu Sahasranam, but if you poke them a bit and tell them you have to surrender to Krishna, Krishna is supreme. I've had this experience many times here in India, that pious people, but then when you insist Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they become very angry and antagonistic. They say, I have to surrender to Krishna, and they become... Even some years ago, I was in the house of a man who was worshipping Narayana at home. But then when I said, actually, the Krishna, it wasn't the question of Krishna or Narayana, but when I was pushing the point, you have to surrender, say, oh, Narayana, he's Niraka. I didn't push the point that he was Saka. I was just saying you have to surrender to him. But he came out with this, even though he's worshipping the form, but with the idea that ultimately there is no form. And actually very underneath, they're envious of Krishna. So they may even be superficially worshipping Krishna, but they're just underneath the surface, they're inimical. The example is given of Jarasandha. Very pious in some ways. That example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very pious in many ways. He was very much inclined toward the Brahmanas, which is why Krishna thought up the ruse of going to Jarasandha. He himself, Arjuna and Bhima, dressed as Brahmanas, because he knew that Jarasandha would never refuse anything to a Brahmana. He was known as being so pious. And so they said, we're Brahmanas, we've come from a long way, we've come to beg something, what do you want? We want to fight with you. We're not Brahmanas. But they knew that Jarasandha wouldn't refuse, because he's so pious. But then he's so impious, he's so pious he wouldn't refuse anything to Brahmanas, but he's so impious he hates Krishna. So it's a funny mixture. It's not real piety. It will take many, many lifetimes for such persons to become Krishna conscious, because they stubbornly don't want to be Krishna conscious. They are maya aparita jnana. They are avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya. They think that Krishna is simply a product of some unmanifest reality. Avajananti maamurha manushing tanamashritam parambhav majananto mamavyayamanutamam. That Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's supreme. They simply, they don't want to accept it. So they're pious on the one hand and impious on the other hand. So they're not really, it's not really pious at all. From the material point of view, they may be pious. They get birth in a Brahmin family from performing pious activities. But their internal attitude is not... at all pious. We find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita a description of the Mayavadis of Kashi, Kashiya Mayavadi, who they don't like to say the name of Krishna. They'll speak the words Brahma, Atma, Chaitanya. Chaitanya in this context meaning consciousness, as it means in Telugu language. As it means, well, it's a Sanskrit word, but so they'll, but they won't like to say the name of Krishna. The other day we met with some Hindu activists who are very committed to upholding Hinduism and even risking their lives and giving their all energy for trying to protect the innocent Hindus from the waves of Christian conversion. But they wouldn't chant Hare Krishna. And most of these Hindu activists, they're strongly influenced by Ramakrishna, Vivekananda philosophy. They're in the bodily concept of life. They don't want to discuss the topics of Bhagavad Gita. But they're thinking we're Hindus, and they define Hinduism as hatred of non-Hindus. Bodily concept of life. We saw with one of the, they, if we come to the topic of discussing the truth, they become very upset. They don't discuss it at all. That happened years ago. The devotees in Canada, they related to Srila Prabhupada how they attended an interfaith conference. And everyone, all the different delegates were saying their different, what they had to say. And then the devotee, his turn came to speak and said that so far we've been discussing different opinions about religion. Now let us discuss what is the absolute truth. And he said they all became very upset when he said that. They related this to Srila Prabhupada. In the case of our Hindus, we often find that if they're a little bit learned, they might read a book or two here or there, and then they think they know everything, and then they give lectures here and there. In future, we may expect that if our movement is actually preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, as we're supposed to, then the biggest philosophical challenge, it's not going to come from Christians, because they don't have anything really resembling philosophy. It's going to come from envious Hindus. And that's the history of Vaishnavism, that Sri Ramanuja, he established his teachings in opposition of and in defiance to the Kevaladvaitavada of Sri Shankaracharya. He had to oppose that. And Madhvacharya even more so. The idea that we take the Vedas and come up with the idea that ekam advitiya, there's only oneness and there's not two-ness of any sort whatsoever. Kevaladvaita, there's only oneness. So we can expect that if we're actually doing our job of preaching Krishna consciousness as it is. Now, of course, it's not that everyone is grossly envious. And definitely we find more response to Krishna consciousness in India than anywhere else, because people are mostly pious, and it's relatively easy in this sacred land to interest people in Krishna consciousness. It's relatively easy to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And actually, in many parts of the world now, it's relatively easy, easier than it was when Srila Prabhupada first came to the West in 1965, to get people to chant Hare Krishna. At least if we say to them, chant, if we say, Hare Krishna, Chapo, Chapo, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, or Bolo, or whatever, then we'll find many people, they'll immediately respond. And if we could go on Harinam Sankirtan in New York City, or London, or Sydney, or many places, we'll chant, and then a crowd forms around us, and we'll just say to everyone, everyone say Hare Krishna, and we'll find many people will join in also. That's actually mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they were able to uplift the drunkards, the fallen people. They could get them to chant very easily, but the Mayavadis of Kashi, very, very hard. They didn't like to chant at all. They were very difficult to save. So it's relatively easy to get people to chant Hare Krishna. Now we're discussing here, why is it that people, it takes them so many lifetimes to surrender? Well, the thing is that we'll find it's people who are a little bit pious, it's relatively easy to get them to chant Hare Krishna. But then if we tell them you have to surrender to Krishna and take Krishna consciousness very seriously, then it becomes very hard. We'll go out in public and we'll ask everyone chant Hare Krishna, but we don't generally say, okay, very good, you chanted Hare Krishna. Now you stop eating meat, drinking, gambling, smoking, womanizing, looking at porn on the internet, and what else? Eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, fully surrender to Krishna. We don't do that when we go out preaching, because we know that people won't relate to it, they won't be able to understand it. But the idea is that we're supposed to introduce people to Krishna consciousness, give them Prabhupada's books, give them the teachings, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and gradually induce them to take to Krishna consciousness fully. What do we call that? We call that preaching, right? Preaching is the essence. Preaching means, well, there are various levels. Preaching means to go out in the public and chant Hare Krishna, to give people some kind of exposure to, well, a very important exposure to Krishna consciousness by at least hearing the holy names. And the aim is to bring people to fully surrender their life to Krishna, understanding Him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as we often experience, it's much easier to get people to chant Hare Krishna than to fully surrender to Krishna. And if we start to preach, someone may be they may be friendly and nice, but if we tell them, okay, now you have to accept Krishna's supreme, then they start to get uneasy and they start to get upset. Often we find that they may become angry. That's why, or one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada emphasized distribution of books. This is our best bridge preaching. Give the books. Let them read the books and get the full philosophy given by Srila Prabhupada. But we're supposed to speak the philosophy also. But it's hard. It's not so hard to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And it's not hard in most cases to get people to take Krishna prasadam. There are people who are inimical to that also. I remember once I was in a hospital in Bangalore, and just opposite me there was a There was a boy about 15 years old, Muslim boy, you could tell. And I wanted to give him some prasad. I had some sweets there for giving to the doctors. And I went to give him. He had a look came on his face like it was the most horrible thing. I guess he had the idea that it was Satan, Shaitan, in this food. And he got up and went away as if I was trying to strangle him or something. So we can understand why our Hindu activists want to stop this conversion, because they have that. If they become this kind of Christian, then they'll hate the culture of their forefathers, hate the culture of this land, and it becomes very difficult to preach Krishna consciousness to them. So even giving prasadam sometimes can be difficult, but it's in many places and among many people. It is very popular, and in certain parts of the world, the Hare Krishna devotees are well known for their food, great vegetarian food. People don't know it's prasad per se, although Srila Prabhupada did say that in our restaurants, we should have a big sign telling everyone that this food is offered to Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy. It's spiritual food. They should know they're taking prasadam, not to hide it, not to hide the point. So there may be people who like the chanting, who like prasad, or they like our food, but they don't like our teachings. In America, for the last few years, there's organized every year what's called the Bhakti Fest. Fest is short for festival, in which people, Americans, non-Indian American, non-Hindu, or not coming from Hindu families, they go to a Bhakti Fest, in which I'm not sure exactly what's there, and I don't really want to go and find out. Vijay Prabhu, our great, one of the great in all ISKCON's history so far, one of the great all-time book distributors. He told me, was it him who told me that they went, he and some other book distributors went to this Bhakti Fest one year. They thought it'd be good for book distributors. It was terrible. No one wanted to take our books. And he told me that the main organizer of the Bhakti Fest had told one of our intrepid swamis who always goes there to the Bhakti Fest that we like your food, we like your chanting, but we don't like your philosophy. Told him outright. We like your food, we like your chanting, we like your kirtan, but we don't like your philosophy. So it is hard to preach, to actually preach and speak the philosophy and try to get people to accept that. So now, how to avoid this problem, that people become upset, they don't like it, they don't want to accept it. We may spend hours speaking to people, but they don't want to hear anything, as we had the experience the other day. How can we avoid that? I mean, what are we going to do? So now we discovered something. It's called bridge preaching, or it could be described as preaching without preaching. For instance, we have, it's become a big success in many centers in the West, and now they adopted it in India also, the Festival of Colors, based on Holi Festival. And in America, devotees organize at different centers. They invite all young people to come, young or whatever, and they have different kinds of music, rock music playing, and sometimes they play the Hare Krishna mantra with some jerky tune that you can dance to, and they get everyone to dance, and then they all throw different colors on each other. It's called the Festival of Colors, and people come, they pay money. Good. And they hear the Hare Krishna mantra. They associate with devotees. Of course, devotees are not going to preach anything to them because they won't like it. And they get prasadam. So they get prasad, they visit our temple, they might even go in the temple and take darshan. They get prasad, they associate with devotees, although devotees are not going to make a big thing, they're devotees, and they're definitely not going to preach anything to anyone because they don't want to hear anything we've got to say if it's about Krishna, which is... So they get, the main thing is they get prasad, they get the holy name, they give some money, and they get to like devotees. I think devotees are nice people. They organize festivals like that. And all young men and young women all mixed up together, throwing water and colors on each other. Sense gratificatory, but there's prasad, and there's the holy name is there somewhere mixed up with everything else. And no one surrenders. But anyway, they must make some progress. Okay, they made some progress. Bahunam janmanam ante. You can go on like that for many lifetimes and never surrender, right? You can go to the Festival of Colors for many lifetimes, but you're not going to surrender unless we come to the point of understanding Vasudeva Saravamiti, Krishna is everything. Someone's got to tell us that, convince us. Otherwise, we won't surrender. So we discovered this. It's a great way to preach. The easiest way to preach is to preach without preaching. No philosophy. People don't like philosophy. They told us outright, they don't like our philosophy. Why should we upset them? If they're willing to give money and chant and take prasad, we can preach without preaching. Better. We don't make any enemies, and they're happy, we're happy, and they don't surrender to Krishna. We also don't surrender to Krishna because we're supposed to actually preach to people. Well, this is the future of our movement. This is the present of our movement. Preaching without preaching. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. How many lifetimes will it take? We can surrender in a moment, or it may take many, many millions of years. Hare Krishna. That's all I'm going to say now, unless anyone has any question or comment about this. The hand has gone up. The hand has gone up, the other hand has gone up, and we should say Hare Krishna. Then we should all go up to the spiritual world.
Hare Krishna.
Catch on to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Can we preach through conducting Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Sapta?
Can we preach through Bhagavad Sapta? Well, if we actually speak the message of Bhagavatam. The problem with pious people like to go to Bhagavad Sapta house. But the problem is if we speak the actual message of Bhagavatam, we'll find that it's not the kind of piety that they want to listen to verses like Nayam deho deha bhajan riloke kashtan kaman arhate virbhujangye. Tapo devyam putraka yena sattvam shud yad yasmad brahma sokyam tu anantam. Do you know this verse?
Not fully.
Not fully. So you can't preach through Bhagavad Saptas because you don't even know the basic teachings of Bhagavatam. This is the first of a series of very strong instructions that... Do you know who spoke this? Rishabhdev spoke to
Sukadeva Goswami.
To Sukadeva Goswami? To his
Parikshit Maharaj, sir. Parikshit Maharaj.
To his 100 sons. to his 100 sons, among whom the first and most prominent was known as Bharata, Bharata Maharaj. So Rishabhdev says that having attained this human form of life, one should not aspire for sense gratification, which is available even to the stool-eating animals like pigs and dogs. But one should engage in divine austerity so that one can be situated in transcendence and attain to spiritual happiness, which is eternal and unending. So if we say this kind of, if we preach this message of Bhagavatam, if we preach many stories, many people may like to come. They will gain some piety by doing so, which is why they go. They're pious people. They're good people. They're devotees. But to get them to fully surrender to Krishna, that may be another matter. And generally, if we speak all these things, Shrotavya dini rajendra nirang santi sahasra shaha apashyatam atma tatvam griheshu griha medhinam. Most of the people who come to these Bhagavat Saptahas are pious people, but they are what Shukdev describes in his first words to Parikshit Maharaj, Griha Medhi. They're attached to their pious, but they're attached to their home life. And they have many things to discuss, but they are blind to knowledge of the soul, to knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And they don't want to hear. So it is possible to preach via Bhagavad Saptahas. Yes. Good idea. You can go to Bhagavad Saptahas and give people a set of Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. But as I note in that, as I've analyzed in that book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, we distribute the books, but we have to speak the message in the books also, and live the message in the books. Otherwise people will think it's just like some school textbook. It doesn't have any relationship with the reality that we're living. There's one thing in the books, there's all this heavy stuff, and then we live, and we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we like to tell nice stories, and we're very concerned about being nice to each other, but all this stuff about surrendering, well, later. I know, they somehow or other, devotees are distributing books and they're practicing Krishna consciousness, but they don't preach all these necessary topics which are in Bhagavatam. They're very concerned to keep everything very nice and keep people happy on the superficial platform as long as they're chanting Hare Krishna. Bahu janma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta na pai Krishna pade prem don. We may chant Hare Krishna for many lifetimes and not attain love of Krishna. The warning is there. It's actually a major point preaching Krishna consciousness in this country, and maybe in the Telugu speaking area more than others, because it seems that Telugu people in general are the most open and most pious anywhere in India. I mean, people are pious in different places. In Gujarat also, people are very pious, but in another way. They're not really looking for something religious. One reason why the Christians are so active in the Telugu-speaking area is because people, it seems they're looking for something religious. They want some religious guidance. And we find that people are coming to our movement here in this area, and they want to practice something spiritual and religious like this. So it's easy to mislead people also, because they want something spiritual. It's like a hurdle. Why does it take many births to surrender to Krishna? It's like the hurdle. You can do everything. You can chant Hare Krishna, can study Bhagavatam, learn many shlokas, teach your children. It's very popular here in India and among Indians overseas, pious Indians, Hindus, to teach their children many shlokas. But they don't. There's not much or hardly any emphasis on teaching them the meaning of the shlokas. Just that they should learn it and recite it. But what does it mean? How do you apply it in your life? There's not much of that. But people they're happy on that platform. And so many times someone say, oh, my son or my daughter has learned the whole of the 15th chapter. And they'll come in and bring the daughter, and the daughter, 8 years old, whatever, will recite it. And, all right, that's a hell of a lot better than being a beef-eating lecher. But how to bring them to the next stage? Otherwise we can get stuck on the platform of piety. Devotional piety. It's not automatic. It's not automatic that even by chanting Hare Krishna we'll go back to Godhead, because we find that one celebrated personality from Andhra Pradesh who was known by the first name of Sai and the second name as Baba, who a few years ago did the best thing that he ever did in his life, he died. Wish he'd done it earlier. But he got his followers also chant, you've heard? They also chant the names Govinda, 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 Govinda. Gopala, 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 Gopala. They also chant the holy names, but they're all going to hell if they think that he is this rascal number one who wheelchair Bhagavan he ended up, that was his Antya Leela in a wheelchair, that he is actually Bhagavan. And they're also chanting the holy names. Jarasandha was worshipping Shalagram, Vishnu. So proper understanding and application is required. Otherwise, piously going to hell. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kipa sindhu vyavacha patita nam pavanebhya vaishnavebhya namo namah.